Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the Wayfinders Church podcast. Today is Good Friday. It is Easter week, so happy Easter to each and every one of you. I could not think of a better way to record on Good Friday than the topic that we are going to be talking about today. But before we jump into that, we have some great things happening. Easter Sunday is this Sunday at 10 o'clock at the Kimbrough Building. We'll be meeting, and we'd love to see you there. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to celebrate the resurrection together with you, because God is resurrecting things in us and around us and through us, and we are excited. So there's that. And then we will also be on the 29th of April. We'll be at the Donut Dash in San Marcos, helping raise some money for our police officer friends down there, and just being present, loving on the city. And then on April 30th, we, as a church, we have chosen every fifth weekend to, if there's a fifth weekend in a month, to not have a weekend worship experience. And instead, we are asking people to serve throughout the city. And then we're coming together that afternoon for a picnic in the park. We're calling it Barbecue and Baptisms. We're going to be at the Blanco River at Five Mile Dam Park. And we are excited to baptize somebody and get this thing rolling. It's going to be a ton of fun. So anyway, much love to you guys on that. Well, let's jump in. We have been in a series on social justice, and I'm really excited about the next couple weeks. This week in particular, I'm going to share something that I was introduced to by Walter Wink. There's another great podcast episode by Rob Bell on the Robcast. If you listen to him, he has an episode called Something in the Air, Part Whatever, The Myth of Redemptive Violence, and he talks about this. But again, it's from a guy named Walter Wink that brought it to my attention. And that is this: the myth of redemptive violence. Undergirding all of our stories is a kind of a really big myth. And so the story of victory over, like order over chaos, of victory by means of violence, it's the ideology of conquest. You know, like, for instance, the gods favor those who conquer. Your God's on the side of the king, and so it puts power in authority and position and the aristocracy. Kind of deep down, peace through war, security through coercion, and strength. These are the core convictions of a story that has been being told from kind of the beginning of time. It's converse to the Jesus story, because Jesus, on Good Friday, instead of coming into the city as a king, he comes in on a donkey, and his celebration is short-lived, because he doesn't bring a sword and try to take over via violence. Instead, he takes over by giving himself up. And so it's a third way of being. And so we no longer believe that the myth of redemptive violence, that it works. And what redemptive violence says is it enshrines the belief that violence saves, that war brings peace, that might makes right. And it's one of the oldest continuously repeated stories in history. And I think one of the reasons why it's so successful is because it really doesn't seem mythic, right? You see the people at the top, and what have they done? They've coerced their way to the top. So let me make this a little more practical for us. Redemptive violence suggests that we're going to solve the problem by escalating the act of retaliation. So someone says something about you, and then you say something about them. And once the rumor gets back to them, they spread an even bigger rumor. And then you spread an even bigger rumor. And when the conflict comes, it becomes physical. And in the end, both your reputations are sullied and both of you are battered and bruised and nobody wins. So that's one small example. Let's take it a very real example. For those of you who have gone through the tragedy of divorce, what I have seen time and time again, and what can happen without even thinking about it. Like, this is how subtle it can be. Kids come home from your ex-spouse and they say, well, mom or dad or whoever said this about you. And you say, well, let me tell you who they really are. And you escalate it. And it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't make either of you look better. It doesn't create peace or unity. It doesn't bring redemption. All it does is escalate the violence, and countries do this. There was an act of terror, so we decided to declare war. And in the process, we didn't eradicate the ideological part that caused terrorism to spring up, but innocent people, men, women, children, soldiers, they died. Now, you could say, yes, but we did some good in that. Maybe. But in the end, did it really solve the problem? Because if violence is the answer to violence, when does it stop? It may go into hiding, but it doesn't stop. I mean, that's what makes the Star Wars stories compelling is, can the galaxy be won by order and fear? Or can it be won by peaceful diplomatic talk? I mean, that is, in essence, what we're talking about still with nations when we look at what's happening in Korea or in China or in our own country. Can we provide the right kinds of checks and balances where violence is not the answer? You see, the myth of redemptive violence says that I can solve the problem by escalating what I do. But all that does is increase the hurt and the pain. Yes, we can end the war by dropping a nuclear bomb. But does that really solve the problem? We do this with our words, we do this with our actions, we do it everywhere. And so the myth of redemptive violence is played out time and time again in our our stories. It says that you can do things. So our world is really, it's filled with violence, like a plague, an infection, a pandemic, killing people and people killing themselves. We have homicides happening every day. And I think what we need to do is declare that violence is evil everywhere. Our kids keep getting mixed messages. A few years ago, there was a national news story about a second grader in Rhode Island who wore a baseball cap to school with soldiers carrying guns on the front. The school authorities ruled that his hat violated the dress code, which did not allow weapons on clothing, code established with the kids' best interest in mind for their safety and protection. But then the school authorities pushed for an exemption, working to allow for clothing that had soldiers with guns in interest of promoting patriotism and democracy. And so while we say violent, you know, evil is violence, and then we also celebrate other kinds of violence, it's no wonder that our kids get confused. Martin Luther King was one of those prophetic voices that insisted we have to challenge violence of the ghettos. We have to challenge the violence of our government. We have to challenge the violence in our home and in our religions. We have to challenge violence because nonviolent action is a third way which produces a solvable action, but violence only escalates more violence, and it is a cycle that ends up with everybody losing. Here's the truth. In the face of evil, in the face of the evil that Jesus endured, he consistently challenged the myth of redemptive violence. He looked in the eyes of those killing him and called on God to forgive them. He loved his enemies, and he taught the disciples to do the same. He said things like, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I want to say there is a better way. You've heard it said, love your enemy or love your friends and hate your enemies, but I tell you, love those who hate you and do not repay evil with evil. He challenges the prevailing logic of his day and ours. He insisted that if we pick up a sword, we will die by the sword. And apparently, we still have a lot to learn when it comes to that lesson. So on Good Friday, it's the ultimate picture of creative, spontaneous, wonderful, generous opportunity for people to rethink who we are and why we are the way we are. So herein lies the crux of the myth of redemptive violence. Violence only leads to more violence. So Jesus didn't come and conquer and create a kingdom by swords and principalities of this world. He said, there is a whole other playing field out here that you don't even know about. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay down my life. I'm gonna give up my freedom, my soul. I'm gonna give that up. And in the midst of that, I'm going to come back resurrecting and bringing a whole new world that is possible in Jesus' death and resurrection. We see this beautiful picture, not of violence, but of love, of creative and generous opportunity that stops the cycle of violence and opens up the opportunity for people to see the world differently. So the next time you're in an argument with someone, does escalating your words, yelling, or upping the veracity with which you throw word grenades around, does that solve the problem? Or does it just lead to people being hurt? The next time you're in a conflict with your boss at work over the direction something is going, does undermining them by saying things to your colleagues, does that solve the problem? Or does that in the end hurt your own credibility and the credibility of your boss? You see, we think we get justified in our behavior, and that's what redemptive violence says. I can coerce the situation. I am justified in this decision. And yet, Violence always leads to more violence, be it physical, be it psychological, be it with our words, be it spiritual. So say no to coercion and violence and opt for a third way. Look to creatively end the loop so that you might find something even better. And today, as you celebrate Good Friday, I'd love to invite you to our community Good Friday service at Icon. If you're listening to this post Good Friday, I want you to understand that as Jesus was headed to the cross, he was carrying something deeper than the wood that was used to kill him. And tonight I'm going to be sharing something called the weight of sin. And it's a reading, and I'm gonna do this with you. So let's end here. After every line, you're supposed to say, "You carried my sin." I'm gonna say it with you. But if you're listening, say it out loud when we get there. The cross and the sin of the world, you carried my sin. Placed upon the shoulders of a king, you carried my sin. It should have been my burden to bear. You carried my sin. Collapsing under the weight, you carried my sin. The only one able to complete the task, you carried my sin. Committing no wrongdoing, you carried my sin. My anger, lust, jealousy, and pride, you carried my sin. Up the hill to Golgotha, you carried my sin. All the way to death, you carried my sin. I think there is a weight that violence brings that is deeper than the weight of the physical that Jesus was carrying up the hill. And when he got to that point where he physically couldn't do it anymore, maybe he was so physically exhausted, not from the beatings that he had received or the violence that had been done to him physically. And thankfully, Simon of Cyrene was there to carry that physical cross for him. But maybe he was exhausted under the weight of the spiritual violence that you and I had heaped on him through what we did. And so Jesus ends the cycle of violence, says, "No more, no more. Death, greed, malice, slander, what we do to each other, no longer does that have a place in the world I'm creating. That just leads to more of the same. Let's solve it." That's what Good Friday does. So my friends, don't get trapped in redemptive violence. Don't believe the lie that if we go to war, we can actually solve those problems. So we may solve one, but another one will arise. And what ultimately solves the problem is the fact that Jesus, at the crossroads of life, lays down his life to creatively engage ours. Much love, my friends.